town council to order. Until we're told otherwise, we will continue with the moment of silent reflection, so if you would like to stand. Thank you. Is there any disclosure of pecuniary interest? Seeing none, thank you. That brings us to 4.1. Councilor Fryer?
Actually, Council can bring item 5 forward. First, I'll make a motion to table the health and safety training.
I'll support that.
Thank you. Seconded by Councilor Courtney. I don't think we need any discussion on it. All those in favor? Carried. Thank you. That brings us to 4.1. CEO, which is our report, so.
John, can you turn the lights back on?
We're not.
Sure.
Why didn't I try that? Just get up and walk. Next time I get a report, I'm doing that. Get a motion on the report so we can discuss it, received or otherwise. Councilor Melosh?
Recommendation that the report from the fire chief dated May 5th be approved.
Thank you. Seconder? Councilor Levine? Discussion? Questions? Councilor Pluja?
I would like to see it deferred.
Okay.
I'll second.
But a defer takes precedence. So push it, right? Okay, there's no discussion for referrals. So all those in favor?
I'm sorry.
There's no discussion for referrals?
Deferral.
A motion to defer?
Deferral.
Deferral. My apologies. Deferral. Big difference.
She's asking for, Councilor Pushin. She's asking for a deferral.
Right. Motion to defer.
Can I ask why?
No. Motions to defer are cannot be discussed. That's it. All those in favor? Opposed? Okay. Motion's deferred. Brings us to item 6. Fair enough. The deferral, is it your preference that it be the next meeting or till further notice?
Until further notice.
Fair enough. Is that necessary before we vote? Okay. That brings us to item 6, code of conduct. I would open it to questions. Councilor Courtney?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you to whoever developed the policy, I find it very comprehensive. I think it's a good policy. I have a couple questions on it. Should I ask them now or wait till, are we going to go through section by section?
It is at the will of council, so if you have a question. You want to go section by section? Okay. First question, Councilor Courtney.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Item 1.2, the town commits to appointing an integrity commissioner. Did we ever discuss this, or have we ever had one in the past? Or will this be new ground for us should we agree to do it?
Through your worship to Councilor Courtney, integrity commissioners are one of the methods in which council can look at investigating the code of conduct of municipal councillors. It is afforded in the Municipal Act. Previously, this has not been a method in which the town of Amherstburg has undertaken. However, it is a method in which many municipalities do use an integrity commissioner.
Is there a cost? I imagine there's a cost to this position. Can you
I know what the retainer is. For example, the City of Windsor has an integrity commissioner, and they have a retainer of $12,000 for the integrity commissioner per year. However, what I can tell this council is that I was tasked, pending the approval of a code of conduct, by the regional CAOs. So basically what we'd be looking at is an integrity commissioner for the entire region. So that would be Amherstburg, LaSalle, Tecumseh, Essex. They've all agreed to look at participating. So what I will do is, if council approves this, I'll bring it up at the next CAO's meeting that we do have concurrence from our council that we'll hire an integrity commissioner. And what we'll try and do is share the cost amongst the entire county. So I think putting that on retainer would be another shared service that Amherstburg can participate with all of the county. And I think the one benefit of that would be that we would have an integrity commissioner that would look at everything regionally the same way. And I think that might be good for all the municipalities to undertake.
Councilor Frey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On the same lines with the integrity commissioner, holding as a retainer through to the CAO, regionally it sounds like a great idea to hold them in a retainer. So is this position going to be $100,000, $200,000 plus any investigation done by each municipality? Because some work may be 10 hours and others could be many hours. So I'm curious on how that would work out for the town of Amherstburg.
What we would wind up doing is doing a request for proposal for this service, and we would ask for a retainer for the entire region where we would all participate. And what we would get the benefit of is, I believe, reduced costing on a per hourly basis, because that integrity commissioner would be doing the work for the entire county, including Amherstburg. So I'll bring all that back to council so that they're fully aware what the cost will be. But I don't anticipate it being a full-time position. And if I were ventured to guess on what the hourly rate would be, I would probably be guessing in the range of $80 to $150 per hour. That's what I'm guessing.
Councilor Levine.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So hearing this new information, you said almost all the municipalities you spoke to are on board.
Yes.
So when looking at this code of conduct policy in 1.2 and then and down in 6.11, it says must appoint. Do we need to change the language to reflect that we're going to use a shared integrity commissioner with everyone, or is this?
I think the language is fine in the code of conduct policy. I just think it's an exercise for us on saving dollars, right? Being able to guess the best value for money. And I think when we're able to offer that as a regional participation, that we might be able to attract a much better integrity commissioner for a lower cost. That's really the reason.
No, I agree, and I'm completely for that. my concern is the time length involved, if the county has a proposal already in place, and what would happen in the meantime if we have a code of like a conduct policy that comes to you, and if we pass this, it says we must appoint one. So what would we do in the meantime? We're going to go hire our own and then jump on board with the regional approach too?
Until we actually get someone on board, we won't have one. If we quickly want to get someone on board, I have discussed with the City of Windsor of looking to participate in using theirs if one was required. So I could approach the City of Windsor and look at theirs, because it would be a government-to-government transaction. It would be sort of a shared service. And I could explore that and get back to council immediately on that. If not, I was tasked from the regional CAOs to do it for everyone. So that's the way I would approach looking at the RFP, so that basically what would happen is it's beginning with us and we'd be able to add all these other municipalities on. So that's the way I was looking at approach doing the RFP. But however council wishes me to proceed, if they're looking at an immediate integrity commissioner, I can contact the City of Windsor and ask them if we could just use theirs on their contract as a government-to-government transaction.
Right, that answers my question. I just want to make sure that once we pass this, if a code of conduct comes to you tomorrow morning, you don't go out and spend 12 grand and hire one, and then in 2 weeks they say, oh, let's do it together, and we have two retainers. So, and you're spearheading this on behalf of the county council?
I am the leader in this initiative.
Okay.
Councilor Cloutier is next.
Thank you, Mayor DiCarlo. Through you to the CAO, I too am very, very concerned with the word must. Section 611, the town must appoint an integrity commissioner to investigate concerns of non-adherence to this policy. I would feel much more comfortable, because we don't know the cost, we don't know all the ramifications regarding costing, or this could be this or this might be that. I would prefer it to say the town may appoint an integrity commissioner. I don't like the word must, because everything is just, we don't know. We don't know right at this point in time.
Councilor Gordon?
She said exactly.
Okay.
I was going to say shall, but may is even better.
Shall and must is
the same. May means you have an option, shall means you don't.
That's what I mean, shall and must are the same.
Right.
So are we going to change that?
I think much like the budget, we can probably just keep going through for fluidity, that we have an agreement that that's the change, and then we can approve it in principle, and then once it's printed and done, we can finalize it, if that's all right. Councilor Pugin?
So as a clarification, are we changing it from must to may? Is that agreeable?
That I will ask for approval first on a issue by issue, so I guess motion to change it to shall, or I mean may. Councilor Pryor?
Or for ease of doing that, maybe for time too, if there's no opposition against it, maybe we can approve this in principle tonight, and then once we get the copy that's been revised, we can approve it, have a final approval on it.
Yeah, as I said, it's at the will of council, so if we want to get agreement before we continue. How about if I just ask for opposition? So we're going to switch it to May, unless anyone or a majority is opposed. Anyone opposed? All right, we will continue. Next article for discussion. Councilor Courtney?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is a code of conduct. Under part 2.3, to ensure that council maintains their commitment to performing their functions, does this pertain just to council, or does it pertain also to the police and the fire departments, or do they have their own code of conduct?
Through your worship to Councilor Courtney, fire would fall under the code of conduct of town employees. Police has their separate code of conduct, which is governed by the police board.
Councilor Levine?
Section 3.1 states the policy applies to every member of council, town, Amherstburg, and local boards in the municipality. Should we include the word committees? Because I know we have boards, but we also have committees.
Councilor Melange?
4.20.
Actually, just real quick before we move on, is anyone opposed to that? Okay.
4.20. Person includes corporation, partnership, association, or any other entity. The word individual, I believe, should be in there. Because a person is an individual, we refer to more business entities than we do an actual person, so I think the word individual should be in there as well.
Councilor Pouchet?
I'm lost. I'm not sure what he's referring to.
It's for the no.
Oh, it's not number four?
4.20.
4.20.
Is there anyone opposed to that or any questions on that? Councilor Pouchet?
Just for clarification, if a person includes a corporation, partnership, association, and any other individual instead of an entity, is that what you're...
No, but entity has to stay there because it
okay.
can be an okay, but I'm saying, what I'm proposing is this person includes an individual, comma, a corporation, partnership, association, and any other entity.
Is there any further clarification? Okay, is there any objections? Okay, next issue. Councilor Pouchet?
On page 5, sorry, Mr. Mayor, thank you. On page 5, number 6213. Council must avoid conflicts of interest, both apparent and real. The question is, what we can't call another person on a conflict. It's our decision. What ramifications are there if someone from the audience thinks we are in a conflict or a member of the public? Mm-hmm.
Through your worship to Councilor Pouchet, that would be specifically under Bill 8 that's coming. Members of the audience or the community would have the opportunity to call the ombudsman if they believed that council or the counselor was in conflict.
Any member of the audience may also file a complaint through the Conflict of Interest Act.
Further?
And further to that, what ramifications are there to a member of council if do we go to proceed to a trial and then no?
If I can, Your Worship. If an investigation were to occur by the ombudsman and the ombudsman person were to find a member of council in conflict, the ombudsman can make recommendations, but really can't levy any penalties. That would be up to council to agree to that. So you have to vote on that issue. The same thing would happen with an integrity commissioner. They would offer you a resolution, something that might be punitive, for example, not being paid for your council duties. But that would be something that all of council would have to agree on. Madam Clerk, if you want.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, if I may add, if any member believes that a council member has not declared prior pecuniary or otherwise conflict, and they go through the Conflict of Interest Act, and that member is found guilty, it can be up to and including losing your seat.
For 7 years?
Yes.
For 7 years.
Councillor Courtney.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As having been a victim of a suit, a conflict of interest suit, I can tell you it's a horrible experience. And to further what the CAO said, any member of the audience, any member of the municipality can issue a conflict of interest suit against a council member, at which point the council member must retain legal counsel on their own. There is not covered by the town's legal counsel. You prepare for a possible hearing in front of the judge. Both sides prepare. If it goes in front of the judge can rule in the counselor's, in this case, the counselor's favor, or in the complainant's favor. They rule in the complainant's favor. As Paula said, the counselor could be fined, could be reprimanded if the conflict of interest was not, if they truly felt they were not in conflict. And so it could be overlooked, or they could lose their seat for a period of 7 years. I sound innocent, but it was a horrible, horrible experience. So I would caution any councilor, trustee, be so wary of the Conflict of Interest Act and what you say, what you do, who you're related to, anything. We're all under scrutiny, and we need to be very, very careful.
Section. Councillor Frey.
6.10.2. Any member of council confronted with or aware of harassment of any nature will report said harassment to the mayor and or CAO. And or.
Mm-hmm. Councillor Courtney?
Thank you. I don't know if everybody wants to go this far ahead, and if you don't, that's fine, but item 612, confidential information, is that okay if I go that far? Does anybody have anything prior to that that they want to say? I just want to know, and I did speak to the clerk about this. This is a problem at the school board, and it's about the information that is dealt with in camera. And what are the ramifications of an in-camera leak? If it can be proven that there was a leak and it becomes known where the leak originated, what are the ramifications? Are there any?
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I've looked into that before, and I think the only thing we have come up with is breaching your oath as a counselor, which I believe is, there is some secrecy things that we swore at out at our inauguration. That's the only thing I can find. Mm-hmm.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. With respect to that question, Councillor Courtney, this code of conduct policy speaks to that in the sanctions under section 7, non-compliance of the code of conduct.
What is that called?
It's under section 7, non-compliance with the code of conduct, under the sanctions.
Councilor Lee?
I guess for you to Paul. So these, this section 7, the sanctions, are these pretty much generalized across the board for Ontario? Is this, that's pretty typical, right? There's not anything in here that no one else does.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, that's correct. And also speaks somewhat to it in the municipal.
Your Worship, the Council, and I think the one thing that you do have to note as well is that 7.1.2.6 throws it back into call of Council's court for any additional action that Council wishes to take. So that's a catch-all phrase. So if Council, you do have some of the, the pre-prescribed sanctions, but there's also a sanction on whatever. And typically, I've seen that where they use remuneration, removal of remuneration, as the other.
Okay, if I could redirect then. Yeah, because it, within its powers to take, so is that broad, or is it just remuneration?
Well, it's pretty much, as you can see through it, there's removal from membership. That's one of the powers that council does have.
So
that's a recommendation.
So basically, the same as all the above.
All the above. Except for remuneration, that's another one, right? That's not defined.
Councillor Milan?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. But at the end of the day, the councillor, a councillor that's found in violation of this is not losing his seat. Really is just, saying, well, we're going to take away a committee, and we're going to take away this, we're going to take away that. But ultimately, the ultimate punishment is can never be meted by this count, by council. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes, and the example is we have a past councillor in Windsor, who I'm sure everybody knows, lost some remuneration. But did not lose their seat. Only the voters can do that, and also past mayor of the City of Toronto.
Yeah, because
it's only so much council can do, and then after that, it's up to the voters.
Because I was reading not long ago a case law study, a case law on this very issue, and at the end of the day, the councilor wasn't removed from the, from the seat, although he might have been in violations.
Councillor Courtney?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If I may have permission from the council, I would just like to jump back to conflict of interest. I do have one question. I did say that when the councillor is formally accused of conflict of interest, they have to retain their own legal counsel. They are not covered by the town's legal counsel unless they are successful in the application. Does the school board pays the councillors or the trustees' fees? Does the town pay the councillors' legal fees if they're successful?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, there is a bylaw, an indemnification bylaw that speaks to indemnifying individuals for legal fees. That bylaw speaks to council's authority for council and administration. So, for instance, if someone is found guilty, in that instance, they would not be indemnified for their legal fees. However, if they were found innocent, they could be under council's authority. And the bylaw also speaks to the fact that there is administration and council needs authorization to seek legal counsel prior to seeking legal counsel.
Councilor Pryor?
Just a question on seeking. So if I had a conflict and I wasn't sure and I wanted to go visit a law firm, I'd have to seek council's permission prior to that? Or is council already able to do that? Because we do have that in our compensation.
If I may, if you're seeking to be indemnified by the town with respect to legal fees, you do need to seek council's approval over $500.
Yep. Okay. So it's over
Here, Mr. Mayor, if I can just add to that, I will share the bylaw with council so that you can take a look at it and familiarize yourself with it. But there is a maximum indemnification of $2,500 as well.
Councilor Corden?
So if I paid a $3,000 retainer, the most that I could get back from council is $2,500, and then I'm stuck with the rest, even though I'm innocent.
That is correct, unless council authorizes that.
So you gotta be nice to us. Councilor Pooja?
Unless council authorizes it?
Yes. That's correct, yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure it's just me, but in the procedures, the CAO and clerk have authority to establish procedures for implementing this policy and to amend those procedures as required for the best interest of the town. Does that require you to bring it to us, or would you amend something in this policy? Is that what it is, to amend the policy, or just the implementation?
It's the implementation. I can't amend the policy. I can amend the procedures in order to complete the policy.
Okay.
Councilor Pooja?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you to our CAO, could you give me an example of that, please?
Just trying to think. From a procedure perspective, I can do it. No, but
okay.
She wants to know in this particular.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. It would be steps implementing the process to excuse me, hire the integrity commissioner. So, for instance, someone comes to the CAO with a complaint. Those procedures would be in place so that he would have something to follow in order to move forward with the process of getting the integrity commissioner to investigate the complaint.
Can you change it?
Here I can change.
You must forgive me, Councilor, I'm just drawing a blank. It would just I would be able to, there would probably be steps that I have to develop and a procedure to contact the integrity commissioner, and it might take four steps to do that properly, and I might just do it in one step through a phone call. So that's the type of things where I have the ability to change them, but I have to stay true to the policy, the intent of the policy, and what the policy is for. Do you have any?
I do have an example.
Okay, Karen has an example.
Sorry, hopefully everybody can hear me. An example might be when the CAO receives a complaint and needs to open a file. The procedure he takes to open the file, who he would contact, who the file gets copied to, where the file gets archived, how the file gets destroyed, that's all the procedure surrounding that file. This basically indicates that the CAO and the clerk have the ability to define that procedure as long as it is in compliance with the policy. So it's just the internal steps to be able to govern the policy.
Councilman Lodge? Oh, I'm sorry.
You gotta say something.
I feel like the auctioneer person there. I see a hand up calling. Councilman Pouchet?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If there's no further questions, I would just make a motion that we approve this in principle and the policy is brought back to us for in the completed changes.
Seconder, Councilman Lodge? Thank you. Last chance for issues. Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carried, thank you. Just so everybody's aware of the process, then I assume administration will type it in its formal form, and we'll get a copy, and then we'll agree to it, or not. That brings us to the end, right?
Was it the Miller title?
All right. motion to adjourn. Councilor Milan, second Councilor Courtney, all those in favor? Carried, thank you.